I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And once you arrive there, I'd like for you to find verse number 12. Luke chapter 4, verse number 12. And if you will then, stand with me. Luke chapter 4, verse number 12. I'm going to read these verses out loud, and then we'll get into the sermon called Develop Your Custom. Luke chapter 4, verse 12, it says, And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is a story about Jesus. And we see there in verse number 16, we see one of the words that's found in the title of my sermon. It talks about his custom. I'll explain that in just a moment. Do yourself a favor. When we come to prayer time before a sermon, I wish that you would in your heart ask God to speak to your heart. And we don't all pray out loud together at the same time. That'd be a little confusing, and God's not the author of confusion. But as I pray, I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. I hope you can agree with that in the privacy of your heart and mind. And if you'll do that, you might receive what's given, maybe with a little more help from the Lord in your receiving. And so let's pray. Father, bless us in a unique way. Take the simple sermon and use it. Help it to help someone. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I'm convinced that if you'll help folks to see the seriousness of such a simple truth, it would organize their lives. It'd bring organization to their everyday life, their emotions, their spiritual life. And there would then be security and success as a result of it. And bless the sermon. Help me to deliver it properly. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start out with something that I just got to thinking about. There's a little song that's got the Bible's talking about the custom of Jesus Christ. Jesus had some good habits, and that's what that word custom there in that verse means. In life, one of the best things you'll do for yourself is get a rhythm in your life that is a spiritual rhythm. I was thinking about rhythm this afternoon. You all ever heard the little song, Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed? Yeah. I love this song. It's of the Lord. Five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said, no more jumping on that bed. Brother Uriah, you know this song? Come on up here and help me. Brother Dave, let's give him that blue microphone. I'm going to let you can be the doctor. And you're going to be the doctor, said. And the doctor, he says this, no more jumping on that bed. All right? You want to practice?
No more jumping on that bed.
Can you do better than that? I don't want you to say it. I want you to sing it. Now, yeah. Do I need to get a Lenny up here to do this for us?
No more jumping on that bed.
I think you'll get it. So this is how the song goes. Five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said,
no more little monkeys jumping on the bed.
That's close. No more jumping on that bed. So four little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. Now, three little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said,
no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
two little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said,
"No more monkeys jumping on the bed."
He's getting it. One little monkey jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said,
"No more monkeys jumping on the bed."
Let's hear it for Uriah. Good job. Do you know something? He finally got that rhythm. What wasn't hard. A child can get that rhythm. They can figure that out. It's simple. It's a simple rhythm to follow. It repeats itself, and the repetition began to develop security, and he became more bold, more capable, and virtually the song became more successful as the rhythm settled in to his thinking. In the passage of Scripture that we read a moment ago, it said in Luke 4:16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Here, Jesus enters Nazareth, and that's the place where he grew up. He went into the synagogue, or the church, and he stood up to read to the people. And the preacher handed him the book of Isaiah, and he read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Jesus closes the book, he hands it back to the preacher, and he goes and sits down. The Bible says that every eye on the place was glued on him. You would probably feel the same way if Jesus showed up here. If he showed up here and read the scripture to us, all he'd have to do is get up and say a verse or two and sit down, and we would all be enamored with that. These people were amazed. The church was amazed. But there's something really unique and special about this passage. To me, the special something is a part of the key to the success of Jesus. Jesus is predictable. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Look, if you seek success, you're going to have to get some predictability in your life. I like what it said there when it talks about he went into town and then he went to the synagogue or to church. It said, as his custom was. In other words, it was his habit to go to the church. Jesus, I'm sure, had formed many good habits, customs, if you will. But here it says that, and I don't think there's any word in the Bible that's there by error or mistake. It's there for a reason. God wanted you and I to know that Jesus developed custom in his life, or proper habit in his life, or rhythm in his life. You hear a lot of sermons about bad habits in life. This is a sermon about good habits. It says, as his custom was. You see, he on purpose went to church, and that was his routine. In his life, it was set up with a plan to go to church. The rhythm of his life included church. Now, folks, I tell you, you've got to get a good rhythm in your life spiritually. You need to routinely schedule good things into your life and then do them. The word custom, it was his plan. It was his method. It was his schedule. It was his pattern, or the system that he had set up. He was in his groove, if you will. It was his habit. Again, rhythm, the structure, the guide. He had a procedural plan, and he followed that plan. And God took the time to tell us about it. When Jesus showed up at the synagogue, nobody was shocked. Because that's what he did. And everybody knew that was his custom. That was his routine. That was his rhythm in life. When he showed up in town, when they opened the church doors, he showed up at the church. You need to get a routine, or you need to develop the customs of your life. And you put those good things in your life, and they become a part of your routine. Living by schedule produces security. It brings success. It helps you to accomplish your purposes, and it brings stability in your life. So many times I'll counsel with people, and I'll find out that they find themselves uniquely frustrated at a moment. And one of the first things I do is I start looking into, has their schedule in life changed? Because when our schedules change, suddenly it affects our emotions, it affects our rhythm, it can affect your health, it can affect your sleep, it can affect your productivity. Jesus had a custom. I want to talk to you for a little while. The sermon does nothing but get simpler. I want to talk to you about this. I call the sermon, Develop Your Custom. Develop your custom. Number one, develop a custom about your church attendance. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, as we see the coming of the Lord getting closer, we need more church, not less. Oh, there are some that say, well, the Bible says in the last days are going to be a great falling away. Well, good night. If you know that, then you shouldn't be one of them. I mean, since the Bible says it's going to happen and you already know it, are you saying, well, the Bible says we're going to fall away, I'm going to be one of them? No, come on. You need to develop a custom, a routine, a rhythm about church. Before I was a pastor, it was my custom to be in Sunday school. I didn't miss it. Before I was the pastor, it was my custom to come to Sunday morning church, and it was my custom to come to Sunday night church, and it was my custom to come to Wednesday night church. And I realized that sometimes illness and every once in a while work can pull you away from that. But folks, let it become your custom that you're going to be in church. Let church attendance become your habit. It's your routine. Let it become a part of the groove of your life. And if you ever get out of that groove, you ought to be startled by it. Because that, look, folks, you shouldn't debate whether we're going to go to church or not.
Right.
We shouldn't all be standing around saying, well, we're going to go tonight. What do you want to do? You should have already decided that a long time ago. It ought to become your rhythm. It ought to become your custom. And your children shouldn't say, are we going or are we not? The kids, they just get at least one shoe on and head toward the door. Because it's your custom. Make church attendance mandatory in your mind. Jesus, and I'm just asking you to follow the example of Jesus. That's who we're supposed to be like. It was his custom. It was his rhythm in life. And that rhythm will then strengthen you spiritually, I promise you. But not only that. Secondly, develop your custom in regard to your Bible reading. Develop a custom in regard to reading the Bible. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our lives. You need to decide to read your Bible daily. And I would make reading your Bible a part of your daily routine. It is your daily custom to read your Bible. It is a part of the rhythm of your life. You have developed a spiritual habit to open up the Bible and read it. I'll tell you what I think works best. Custom, in this case, I think you need to probably pick a time you're going to read your Bible and then read it at that time. Pick a place where you're going to sit and read your Bible or stand or lay. But pick a time, pick a place, and get a rhythm. The people that read their Bibles most consistently in this room are the people that read it at the same time, the same place, every day. I promise you. Those of you that try to work it in at the end of the day, if you have time, so many times, don't have time, and you don't get it worked in. And all I'm telling you is, when God gave us a scripture there about Jesus, it said he had developed proper customs. Now, we're not talking about cultural customs. We're talking about a rhythm. We're talking about his schedule. We're talking about the timing of his life. So we need a custom about our church attendance, and we need a custom in our Bible reading. Hey, there are some of you, you do have customs about reading. And you've heard me say this, and I will harp about this till the day I die. There are some of you, it's your custom to wake up in the morning and look at your text and wake up in the morning and look at your email and wake up in the morning and get on the internet. But you know what? Maybe you ought to make your custom to get up in the morning and read your Bible. Now, you say, does it have to be in the morning? No. No, if it's going to be at noon, then I would set a time and set a place and do it. But you need a custom. You have a mental mandate on yourself that you will read your Bible at a certain time, at a certain place, and only let an extreme emergency keep you from that. Now, so develop your custom about church. Develop your custom about Bible reading. Hey, develop your custom about prayer. In Acts 3:1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." There was a time of prayer. It was a set time. It was the ninth hour. They called the hour of prayer. In other words, it was a planned time. Could I recommend something to you about your prayer life? Get a rhythm in your prayer life. I think everybody here prays some. But I will promise you something. The people that pray most consistently and most successfully are the ones that have a time that they're going to pray and a place that they're going to pray. They virtually also have a little bit of a system in regard to their prayer life. And I'm not trying to make it so organized that it's starchy, but I am telling you that successful prayers don't do it by chance. They do it on purpose. I believe that God is teaching us to get a routine, get a habit, get a rhythm. Hey, and there's nothing like having that rhythm. There's nothing like getting up and reading your Bible and then doing it day after day after day after day. There's nothing like having a rhythm in your prayer life. I am to the point now where I protect that rhythm. It generates some confidence in my heart when I can say to you, I pray for the people in this room by name every day. Just the other day, somebody that had been to our church and attended our church 2 years ago, and I haven't seen them since. I seen them down at Harris Teeter Grocery Store, and I said, "Oh, I haven't seen you in some time. I'm so glad to see you." And they said, "Pastor, I'm glad to see you." And I said, "I prayed for you every day since I saw you last, by name. I have not missed it one time." They said, "Wow. I don't even come to church anymore." I said, "But I pray for you every day, at the same time, every day." That meant something. It meant something to me. I'm just going to tell you, folks, the people that I have been acquainted with who knew how to pray, did it well, and were successful at it, it was their custom. They didn't dabble in prayer. They had a mental mandate placed on themselves. And they had this rhythm about prayer. So, usually, folks, we don't, if you don't plan it, it won't get done. I think that's how it works with Bible reading. If you don't plan it, it probably won't get done like it should. That's what will happen with church. If you don't plan to be there, then anything could come up that would keep you out of church. Same thing in your prayer life. If you don't plan it, If you don't set a time and a place and you leave it to chance, the devil loves that. He loves it when you say, "If I can work you in." God, you're never supposed to be working God in. He's supposed to be the priority in your life. So, develop your custom in regard to prayer. Not only that, I think it'd be a good idea if you would develop a custom in regard to your soul winning. Develop a custom in regard to your soul winning. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks, your life will do better if you schedule it. You'll waste less time. Hey, and I'll tell you something else. You'll probably have more spare time. When I schedule all my work, I get my work done. And then that schedule, then because of all the accomplishment, I can schedule free time. And I can relax more because I did what I was supposed to do when it was supposed to be done. Now, get a rhythm in regard to your soul winning. In other words, in most cases, folks, if you're going to be a soul winner, it's not going to be by chance. Now, hey, I am grateful and I love the idea of, look, if you're just down at Walmart and you get a chance to witness somebody, you should. You ought to do that. But the great, consistent, successful soul winners in life, they have a day that they go soul winning and a time that they go soul winning. They have developed a custom that requires them to do what's right. And that's just the way it is. I like the idea of by chance meeting people. I'm willing to win someone to Christ on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday and in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. And I'm willing to do all that, but I do go soul winning, and I meet with soul winning groups 2 and 3 times a week, and it is scheduled. And if I didn't by chance meet someone, I was still out soul winning. So usually it's best to have a day and a time. Matter of fact, I'm not out to hurt you. I'm out to help you. Those of you that say, well, I do it my own way, you probably don't go much, do you? Let's really tell the truth about it. I'll work it in when I can. You really don't go much, do you? That's the way it works. And I understand the reality of it. See, you got to get a rhythm. It's got to become a part of your life. And it's an important enough part of your life that you schedule it. Amen. Did you know that your boss knows this truth?
Yes, sir.
And he forces you to succeed when you work for him. Just go to your boss tomorrow and say, look, I'll be coming in when I can. I'll work you in if I can. You say, that'd be stupid. Oh, well, what about your spiritual life? Your boss, the concept, he says there's going to be a day that you're going to come to work. There's going to be a time that you come to work. You need to get in that routine. And you need to be there. He gets more productivity that way. So, get a rhythm about your soul winning. Get that custom. Get that habit in your life. Not only that, young people especially listen to this, and maybe even some of the rest of you that are a little older that haven't learned this yet. Develop a custom about going to work. First of all, let me clarify. Work is good. It's good. It's right. Folks, get a custom about being to work on time. If you're supposed to be at work at 8 and you get there at 8:01, bad custom. You know what I've discovered about people that are late? They're usually late about the same amount of time habitually. You say, I'm only late about 5 minutes. Couldn't you back up your departure time by 5 minutes and be on time? What's so hard about that? People develop bad customs and then succeed at being late almost the identical amount of time over and over and over again. You need to develop proper customs in regard to your work. You know, here's what I think would help you. If you would pick the right departure time from home, and from home, you could arrive at work at the right time. So you develop a departure custom. I have flown hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles. Do you know how they get me to my destination on time? We leave on time for the destination. Not real hard. Every employer in the nation would love to have someone come and give a lecture about customs being developed so people show up on time. Same is true about going to school in the morning. Some of you are teaching your children bad things. Oh, you know what? You're late for work. They're late for school. Now, later on, they'll be late for work, and their children will be late for school. And your great-grandchildren will be late for work. And on it goes. Get a routine. Develop the proper custom. I think I could even help some of you. Let me explain something to you about self-employment. Self-employed people many times fail because they do not develop customs in their life. Thank God for the freedom of being self-employed, but you do know you need to get started at some time, and you've got to have some appointments, and you're going to have to learn to live your life with some schedule, or you'll have total chaos in your business. The most successful self-employed people I have ever met get up at the same time every morning and start work at the same time every day. And I'm talking about people, not that make $70,000 a year. I'm talking about the millionaires that I know. Matter of fact, I could give you the name of three millionaires that will run circles. And I'm talking about men that are in their 70s and 80s that can run circles around 25 and 30-year-old businessmen, because these men have a custom, and that custom brings them success. Self-employment is not to be equal to laziness and lack of organization. I'm just trying to help you. Let's go on. Develop a custom. Folks, I would recommend that you develop a custom about your finances. My custom is this. I tithe, then I take care of what I need, and if there's anything left, I get what I want. Tithe, needs, wants. Tithe, needs, wants. Not wants, needs, and if there's any left, I'll tithe. That's totally backwards to what God teaches. I'll tell you something else about your finances. Most of you need to pick a time when you're going to pay your bills. Maybe it's going to be Friday. Maybe it's going to be Monday. But when you leave it all to chance, you'll be paying your bills late. Now, at our house, our custom is the bill arrives in the mailbox on Monday, and the check is sent out Tuesday morning. It's paid immediately. Immediately. That's how we do it. Now, that's our custom. I'm not saying that needs to be your custom. But I do think this. If your custom is to pay your bills late all the time, you need to redevelop the custom. I think you need to figure out what bills are going to be paid out of what paychecks. Get a rhythm. Develop a custom. It brings security. I think you need to get a rhythm or a custom in regard to savings. You know, the Bible talks about the ant being smart enough to lay aside during harvest, so when the winter months comes, he has adequate supply. And folks, the Bible teaches you should not spend everything you make. There ought to be a little bit that's set aside. You say, how do you do that? You develop a custom. I was counseling one of our people the other day. He said, I don't have a whole lot of money. I said, if I were you, I'd figure out a way to develop a custom of putting $3 or $4 a week aside. Well, that's not going to amount to much. Oh, but the custom will. Because when the increased funds come, you already have a custom of saving some money on a weekly basis. I believe if all you could save was $1 a week, you ought to start a custom of saving $1 a week, because that could increase to 2, and it could increase to 3, or it could increase to 4, it could increase to 100. But if you don't develop the custom, you probably will never save money. There are people in here, you have a custom of spending, but you do not have a custom of saving. One of the differences between the people that are saving and the people that are not, or somebody developed a custom to save at some point in their life, and they do it. You all don't like the government sticking their nose in your business. For some of you, you can thank God that the government takes money out of your check to give you a Social Security check, because you would have spent it all as you earned that money, because you somehow cannot develop a custom of saving money. And the government, which I don't like, stick their nose in our business and say, well, we'll plan that for you. And it's because the government's smart enough to know that people are characterless. Okay, we're going to move away from that one too. I think you need to develop a custom about your checkbook. Develop a custom about your retirement funds. Get a rhythm. Get in that rhythm. Get a habit. And you put a mental mandate on yourself about your finances. Somebody has to. Let's go on. I think you ought to develop a custom. And those of you that are in school, whether we're talking about grade school or high school or college, I think you need to develop a custom in regard to your study habits. In regard to your study habits, let me tell you this right off the bat. If you go to a school somewhere and they have a thing called study hall, notice the first word, study. Now, the hall part, that's just the meeting place where you're doing it. But the whole purpose was that time was given to you to study. I do have a doctor's degree. I'm talking above you right now. But let me tell you, you better get a habit of using your study hall to study. What I'd like to do is I would like to check on every student here that your grades are not what they're supposed to be. And then I'd like to record what you do during the programmed study time at school. If you just use your study hall to study, you'd be better off. But let me tell you something. There are folks, I enjoy studying my Bible, but I study by habit. I study every day. I study a certain block of time, and I've been doing it for years. And I may read and study my Bible for 2 hours in the morning. Now, there are times when I'll read, study for 5 or 6 hours in a day, but I always get that two-hour slot. Wonder if you don't have a sermon to prepare. I'm always studying. I think it's what I need to do. And I've been doing it, by the way. I established it while I was in Bible college. And I was told, if you don't learn how to study now, and if you don't learn how to schedule now, you won't know how to later. Study. Get a routine. Get a custom. Get a habit. Sunday school teachers, I have a habit about teaching my Sunday school lesson. I prepare it. I study it. And it's a routine. You won't find me freaked out and panicked in the parking lot trying to figure out what I'm about to teach in a few minutes when I go in and teach Sunday school. I've been over it and over it and over it and over it and planned it. I studied it. I did it by habit. I have a routine for my teaching and my preaching. Don't cram. Study. There's a difference. There are people in here. You could bring your grades up if you developed a proper custom in regard to study. Young people, let me tell you something, and I'm going to leave this here in a second, but let me tell you something. Mom and Dad try to get you to develop a custom like that. Most parents would say to their children, look, when you get home from school, the first thing I'd like for you to do is do your homework, and then you go play. What are they doing? They're trying to put that as a priority. Let's get it over with. You say, they're just trying to take all my fun away. No, they'd really like for you to get your study over with so you can go have fun. But develop a custom in regard to study. Let me quickly move on. Develop a custom. And parents, did you like that one? Good. Develop a custom in regard to cleaning your house. Do you know you do better if you have a time when you're going to do the laundry, when you're going to do the dishes, when you're going to clean the house, the cooking, men, the home repairs, the yard? If you leave everything to chance all the time, you're probably a very frustrated person. And many of you, you have customs. You know, there is a day that you do your yard, or there is a day that you do your laundry, or many days that you do your laundry. But I'm just telling you, custom develops security. America is falling apart emotionally. And part of it is America has lost its rhythm. It's lost its understanding. Look, I admire the last generation where they got up at a certain time every day, and you all say, well, that's so starchy. That was security. That was strength. Those are the generations that built what we live off of today. Because they had a custom, and they developed that custom. So, get a custom about your housework. Hey, get a custom about your church duties. What are we talking about? Okay, if you're a bus worker and you work on a bus route, your custom ought to be at the workers' meeting on Saturday morning and on time. You've got a custom. You're going to go from the workers' meeting to a bus route meeting, and then you're going to go out soul winning. Get a custom. There's got to be a time. Hey, captains, there's got to be a time. You need to develop a custom about organizing the pickups for your route. Put that in your schedule. Let me help you. Everybody here that participates in special music, a great special music program is a music program that is developed custom. They have practices. They are scheduled, and people show up for those practices. They start on time. They end on time. It's a part of their schedule. And I'll promise you, you can achieve success that way. Those of you that take piano lessons, either from Brother Hollinger or Rachel, let me tell you something. You know what? You need custom. You need routine. You need rhythm. If you're part of the choir or Sunday school or part of our custodial crew or the lawn care or whatever meetings and nurseries, let me say to all of you, get a custom. Get accustomed. If you have a duty, show up at the same time, the right time for that duty, and be in your place. That makes a church successful. By the way, that'll make you successful. Accustomed. I want to move quickly. I think you probably, married couples, I think you need to develop a custom in regard to dating. In regard to dating. I think you need, I would love it if you'd go out once a week, but if not, once every couple of weeks, you need to go out and spend time together as a married couple. I think it needs to become your custom. I think your wife ought to be able to look forward to that, and I think it will bring reprieve and comfort and healing to your marriage. It doesn't have to cost a lot, but there needs to be a time when there is a bit of relax and enjoyment in that marriage. And I believe dating your spouse on a regular basis, it ought to become your custom. Not only that, I think it wouldn't hurt you to get a custom in regard to some family meals. I know I'm old-fashioned about this, but I'll keep being old-fashioned. I think a family ought to eat together at least once a day. At least once a day. They ought to get together, sit around the family table, and it ought to be a custom. I think it ought to be a planned meal. And I don't know of anybody that has to deal with this, but be careful if you have all sorts of shifts that you have to work with, figure out a way to develop custom within the shifts. It's still doable. Some people say, because my routine is not strict and strictly the same from week to week, I can't schedule anything. That's not true. There is a way to schedule around your schedule. I'm just certain of it. I think when I talk about this thing of the meals, I'm still a very, very firm believer that America was stronger and Christianity was stronger when we weren't all so busy and we sat around the table and we ate. When I was growing up, there was a meal and we were expected to be there. And you know what? They didn't have to force us. First of all, we like food. But it was just a time that we were going to be with mom and dad. And that's just how it was going to be. And we looked forward to it and we liked it. And though the rest of the world may not believe that way anymore, folks, I'm going to promise you, you develop the right custom. It will strengthen your marriage. It will strengthen your family. It will strengthen you at work. It will strengthen your spiritual life. You see, a lack of custom, a lack of rhythm, a lack of that proper spiritual habit, it creates some very undesirable results. For instance, if you don't get proper custom or rhythm or routine in your life, you'll have a lot of unfinished tasks, you'll have a lot of lateness, you'll have frustrations about the smallest of things, you're going to be running from emergency to emergency in life. I think it'll actually cause depression. Because I think that you get out of the groove in life and you create ruts. I believe that schedule and routine bring security to people emotionally. I think that a lack of rhythm, a lack of custom in life produces a lack of productivity. I think it'll also produce boredom at times. I think it'll keep us from advancing in life. I think it creates chaos in families. Everybody's going 25 different directions, and there's really no schedule by which we are functioning. We fuss when it's time to come to church. We fuss. We argue. When your spirit ought to be being prepared to come to church and be happy, you're fussing and fighting because we have no rhythm set about departure time for church. Your house is a home. It's not a hotel. I believe that a lack of custom or rhythm brings tension because there are too many unpredictable occurrences. We end up enduring our lives, not enjoying our lives. We live together, but we're not close. There's no quality time in marriages and with kids and with the Lord and at church because we're just running every direction in life. Listen, you say, well, I want to be productive. I am telling you how to be productive, whether you believe it or not. Schedule, routine, predictability placed upon yourself, by yourself, will help you to get the job done. And it will probably salvage your emotions. I I enjoy, we go on vacation. We have a family vacation every year. I have to tell you something. I look forward to that vacation. I look forward to that vacation. I look forward to that vacation. I say to myself, tomorrow morning, I am going to sleep in. I've been getting up at the same time for 30 years, every morning of my life. Boy, the birds are not even up yet, and I'm on my first day of vacation. I sit up in bed and I think, whoa! I just about can't take it. I'm laying there saying, relax, relax. You're on vacation. Relax. And I go get my briefcase. And you know what I do? I go out on the deck and relax. You say, and do what? I get my Bible out. And I do what relaxes me, which is my routine. Most people, you get a few days into vacation and you're thinking, I'd like to get home. There's some security that is found in the rhythm of life. Again, could not tell you how many people would come to me depressed and we begin to analyze and I figure out that the timing in their life is off. And if we can adjust their timing, if we can get their rhythm back, much of that depression will go. Because there's security in custom, as the Bible calls it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The sermon is called Develop Your Custom. I told you it was simple and practical. Anybody could have said it. Anybody could have taught it. But again, I promise that will bring security to your life. It could change so many things in your life. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I need to work on the custom element in my life, and God has spoken to my heart about that very thing. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. Lots of hands. That's good. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need the altar, we welcome you to come. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are saved, could I recommend that you be like Jesus? You say, in what way? Develop your customs, your habit, your positive habits, your rhythm. Five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. Mama took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, no more jumping on that bed. You know what? Anybody can develop the rhythm of that little song, and that little song is indicative of life. If you will develop the right rhythm in your life, things will fall into place. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to maybe come and say, Lord, help me with my custom in regard to my finances? Lord, help me with my custom in regard to my Bible reading or my prayer life. God, help me with my custom in regard to church attendance, my soul winning. Some of you students were coming toward the end of the school year. You say, I have a bit of a mess in a class or two. If you'll dig in, you could probably pull it out. You are going to have to make yourself study. Make yourself study. You say, we're so busy. Boy, you're talking to somebody that understands busyness. Some of you blame all your anger and all your tension issues on busyness. I've watched some of the busiest people in the world who, by the way, were some of the kindest, most generous, most patient people I've ever met. It's not busyness. It is the rhythm of life, and it is something that God can help you with. Being busy does not give us the right to be rude, unkind, and hateful. Develop that custom. Develop a custom for church and Bible reading and prayer and soul winning and at work and the finances and studying and the housework and the work around the house with our church duties, with our mates, with our families and our family meals. If not, you'll endure your life rather than enjoy it. You will live together but not truly close as you live. Get customs that bring security to marriage and your kids and your life with the Lord and your church work. I love the scripture. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. Jesus had a good habit. It was a habit of doing right and being in church.